Mesechtes Nazir, Daf Samach Hei, four lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Dal and Beis, as the last Mishnah on the top of Daf Samach Gimel Mal discussed Tumas Tatoim and it ended off with the words Shereglayim Lodava. So our Mishnah continues to discuss dinim that are relevant to Mesim and which also mentions the concept of Reglayim Lodava. And before we begin, let's point out a few basic yisoidis as well as a few facts of Matthias which will be relevant to today's Daf. Number one, although there is a general din that Mes Koinis Mekaymoi, and if a mitzvah is buried, you are not allowed to move it, and the Gemara Mesechtes Sanhedrin also teaches us that keva yidua is asal if noisai. If you know about a specific keva, then you're not allowed to move it either. However, as Tosfos Asugi points out, that is only when the intent was to permanently bury the corpse in that area. However, as we will see in our Mishnah, if one finds a mace that was buried and the keva wasn't known to us, then we can be told that this corpse was buried by a krai, and you have a right to move the mace, and you also don't have to be chayshish that there are any other maceim in that area, and therefore the rest of the area would be considered tar. Number two, the Mishnah and the Gemara will discuss the concept of a shchunas keva, which we would call a beis hakvaris or a cemetery, and the standard way that Yidden would bury a corpse was lying down with their hands folded one on top of the other and lying on top of their body, as the Yerushalmi brings down, and all the mesim in a beis hakvaris would also all face the same direction, their heads towards one side and their feet towards the other. Number three, there is machlekes in Masechtas Bava Basra as to the structure and layout of a beis hakvaris. There is a Mishnah where there's a machlekes between Rabban and Rab Shimon, and we have another version of the Shita Rab Shimon in a Brisa. So we will learn our Gemara based on the Rashbam's understanding of Shitas Rav Shimon as found in the Braisa. So in the time of the Gemara, bodies used to be buried in kuchin or indentations that were dug into the walls of the ground. And if you had to picture the structure, think of an underground room that was 4 amas wide by 8 amas long, and dug into each wall were 1 amas wide vaults in which the mace would be slid into. Now in order to separate between each body, they had to leave a part of the wall that was still intact. And between each vault, there was a wall that would separate between the adjoining vaults. These walls had a thickness of 2 tefachim each, and the wall between the vaults that were closest to the edge of the room and the edge of the room was only 1 tefach each, as it didn't have to separate between 2 vaults. It was only between the last vault and the actual edge of the room. And therefore, if you make the cheshbon and you have a room that was 4 amas wide by 8 amas long, then on the wall that was 4 amas wide, there was enough space for 3 bodies, as each body took up 1 amah, so the total for the actual mason was 3 amas. And between 3 mesim, there are 2 inner walls, and each wall is 2 tefachim for a total of 4 tefachim. And there was also 2 1 tefach walls between each of the outer mesim and the edge of the room. So in total, there was 3 amas plus 6 tefachim, and that would make up the exact share of the 4 amah wall. And along the 8 amah wall, they could fit 6 bodies, as you needed 6 amas for all 6 bodies. And when you visualize 6 bodies that were buried together, there are 5 walls that are 2 tefach wide each that would separate between each of these bodies, and therefore you had 10 tefachim for these walls, and then you had another 2 tefachim for the walls between the outer bodies and the edge of the room, which would give us a total of 6 amas for the bodies plus 12 tefachim, or exactly 2 amas, which would be the space of the thickness of the walls, which would give you a total of 8 amas. And finally, as we will see, the standard cemetery had at least 2 of these 4x8 rooms, which were connected to each other by a central 6 amma by 6 amma courtyard. Therefore, when looking at the length of a basic Kvaris, the minimum length of a basic Kvaris was 8 amas for crypt number 1, 6 amas for the central chatzah, another 8 amas for crypt number 2, and therefore the minimum length for a basic Kvaris should be 22 amas. However, as we will see, our Mishnah will talk about a 20 amas share. Taisus at the top of Daf Samach Hei Amud Aleph actually brings down that this is the Gemara's question in Masechtas Bava Basra on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara over there gives 2 terutim, and we will only discuss the first teretz that Taisus brings. Umishani, and the Gemara answers, Binifalim. The standard was that every single time that we had 2 crypts, one of those crypts were used for Nefalim. Taisus continues, Sheregilas hu, kishachas min amaris gedolis, hashniya shel Nefalim. The standard was where one crypt was used for gedolim and for larger bodies, then the second crypt was used for Nefalim or for smaller bodies, which l'chayr would include younger children. Or l'kach b'shenis, sogi ba'bal sheish. Instead of the second crypt being 4x8, it would actually be 4 amis by 6 amis. Therefore, if you recalculate the standard size of a small beis hakvaris, it would be at least 20 amas long. As you had crypt number 1, which was used for Nefalim, which was only 6 amas in length, you would add to that 6 amas for the central chatzah, and then you would have to add another 8 amas for crypt number 2, where normal sized bodies would be buried, and that would give us a total of 20 amas in length. And of course, this is much easier to understand by looking at a picture, and there are many pictures available, ayin sham. Now, our Mishnah now begins, Hamaitzi meis betchila mushkev kedakoi, if someone was digging and he did not know that there's a cover in this Syria and he finds a dead body, and this dead body is lying in a way that we could tell that it was a Jewish body, then we consider that this mess must have been buried temporarily and it was just left here. But really, when this mess was buried here, it was done so with the intent that they would remove the body at some later point, and therefore the din is that you can move this body, and number two, there would be no further chash tumma in any other area in this sada. And the Mishnah teaches us a special din that even though this mess was not buried in a Beis HaKfaris, however, at the time that you will go and remove this body and move it to a Beis HaKfaris, you can't just remove the body, but you have to remove the body with some of the dirt that surrounds the body as well, and the Gemara will explain what exactly the shear is. Mishnah continues that the same din applies when you even find two bodies, Shnayim, if you found two bodies in that area, once again, you're allowed to remove the bodies. The rest of the area is not considered Tameh, but when you remove the bodies, you have to take the bodies together with the surrounding soil. As we mentioned in Akhtar Amor, and even though we have a din that we knew about a kever, then the din is that you cannot remove it. That is because when it was buried there, it was done so on a permanent basis. However, if you just find a kever, then it's mutter to remove it. Since no one knew about this, it must be that it was just buried there on a temporary basis. And the Mishnah continues, if you found three bodies while you were digging in your sada, so then even though you didn't know about these bodies beforehand, and you didn't know that there was a basic chorus here, however, we would say, if when you measure the area between body number one and body number three, measurement is not less than 4 amos in a little bit, and the measurement is not more than 8 amos, then harezu shunas kvaris, therefore it's muchach that these bodies must have been buried in a cemetery, and therefore you would not be able to remove these bodies as they were koinim koimon, and we would also have to be choshish that maybe the area around these bodies are also tamei, as this whole area was the basic kvaris, and there are other mesim that are buried beneath the surface of this area. We continue on daf samachayom alav, boidikin menu la'alon esrim amma, since as we explained, a basic kvaris would be a minimum shear of 20 amos, therefore you would have to go and search this area to check if there are other mesim from this point that you found a mesim for an additional 20 amos, and some say this means to each side, and therefore you have to check the circumference of the 20 amma area. However, the Rush brings down a second pshat that they only have to check to one side, as v'yesh mefarshim she'in tzarech libdak ela mitzad echad, and the reason is that since the standard was that they would place the head of the mace into the cavity first, therefore the feet of the mace was always pointing towards the 6x8 room, therefore we always know that the only possibility would be to count 20 amos from the feet of this mace, and by just investigating a 20 amma area from the feet of the mace, you will be able to determine if there are other mesim in this Beis HaKfaris. And the Mishnah continues, Motza echad b'seif esrim amma, if you found even one dead body at the end of a 20 amma area, so boidi kamenu ulalon esrim amma, then it would not be enough that you already investigated and you checked out a 20 amma area, but you have to check out another 20 amma area, because it's possible that this Beis HaKfaris continued on for another 20 amas, shereglaim ludova, as since you found three dead bodies already, and then you found another dead body within 20 amas, therefore, as Taisus explained beforehand, that reglaim ludova, there's a tam gadol, there's a major reason to think that there's other dead bodies, and there are other parts of this Beis HaKfaris at a further point, she'ilu t'chilu matzai, as we know that we mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah, even though originally, if you would have just found one dead body, and you didn't find three dead bodies, you can just remove that dead body, and remove any soil around the dead body, but you don't have to consider this a potential Beis HaKfaris. However, in our case, even though you only found one more dead body within this 20 amma radius, you still have to count another 20 ammas, since you originally found three bodies together, and therefore there was a raya gedola and there was a glaim ledova that there must have been a Beis HaKfaris in this area. The Gemara begins and will focus on the first few words of the Mishnah, which stated hamoitzi meis betchila mushkav kedakai. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will now teach us four dinim. The first is a chumrah, and the last three are kulais. So the first din Rabbi Yehuda teaches us is Amar Rabbi Yehuda matzah pratlam matzah. That the only time that we said this din, that if you find one individual kever that we could rely that it's not a basic forest, and this was buried here temporarily, it's only if you chanced upon this kever. However, if you knew about this kever, then the stomach is that this dead body was definitely buried here permanently, and therefore you would not be able to remove this body at all, and the area surrounding it would potentially be tameh as well. And Rabbi Yehuda continues, mes prat laharg, when the Mishnah stated that it was a dead body, so the Mishnah is coming to teach us that if one of the three bodies was actually killed, it's not going to be counted towards the three body count that we need in order to establish that there was a basic chorus here. Taisus says that this din of Rabbi Yehuda is going to be similar to the din that we'll see in a brisa that's brought by Ula Bar Chanina, that meshechasa in leitfusa v'lo yishkunas karis, that if there's a mess that is missing a part of its body, that it does not count towards the count of the three body minimum. Not only will it not be counted in order to determine and to establish if there's a basic karis here, the din would be that if you move this mess, you don't have to move any of the soil that surrounds it. And in a moment, when the Gemara brings down this din of meshechasa that in leishkunas karis, Taisus says over there that kasha lahavin lama, that shver to understand why this would be the din. And Taisus says b'shem halacha mishmisinehu, that maybe the dinim that we're discussing over here are based on halacha mishmisinei. Rabbi Yehuda continues mushka prat liyoshev kedaka prat lishureishem munach ben yirekasov. When the Mishnah mentioned that this mess was mushka kedaka, it's trying to tell us that this mess has to be buried in a way that Yisrael was buried. The standard was and is that a Jew was buried lying down, and therefore we learn from the Mishnah mushka prat liyoshev, and the same is true that it had to be in the standard way that Yisrael was buried, and that comes to exclude if you find that his head is between his knees, as that's not the standard way that a Yisrael was buried. And in both those cases, even if you would find three bodies together, it would not form and it would not establish a basic kvaris. Number two, if you want to move this body, there is no requirement to move the dead body together with tfusasai, together with the soil that surrounds the body, as we are told that this mess is definitely not a Yisrael, and this corpse must have been a non-Jewish corpse. And the Gemara continues, Tani Ula Bar Chanina, where Ula Bar Chanina brought a braisa, meshechasa in leitfusa of leishkunas kvaris. If someone finds a dead body that's missing part of the body, so then the din of tusa doesn't apply, and if you remove the single body, then you could remove it without any of the dirt and any of the soil that surrounds it, and it also does not form a shkunas kvaris. And even if you found two whole bodies together with one body which was chasa, it would not be considered a shkunas kvaris, and you would not have to be boidik a 20 ame area. And the Gemara brought this braisa of Ula Bar Chanina as a riot to the din Rabbi Yehuda taught us of Bes Prat Laharig. And the Gemara continues and now goes back to the din of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda stated Mushka Prat Liyoshev and Kedakai Prat Lishureishim Munach Ben Yerichaisav. And the Gemara explains V'chol Hani My Time Aloi, and why is it that Rabbi Yehuda states that Mushka Prat Liyoshev and Kedakai Prat Lishureishim Munach Ben Yerichaisav? And the Gemara explains, as we explained when we learned Rabbi Yehuda Amina, because we say Dilma Ivikavimu, that's possible that since it was buried in this manner, therefore likely this body is not of Yisrael, since it is possibly of an Akam, so therefore it is no din of Neitle Vestfu Sasai, and also cannot form a Shchunas Kvaris. Gemara continues that even though we stated on Mishnah that if a person finds two graves, then even though we don't consider it a burial ground, however, if you decide to move this body, you have to move the body together with its surrounding earth, together with Tfu Sasai. However, our Gemara now teaches us Matzah Shnayim, if you found two dead bodies, Rosh Shalzeh B'tzah Magloish Shalzeh, Rosh Shalzeh B'tzah Magloish Shalzeh, and each body was buried in a different direction. For example, the head of corpse number one was buried to the west with its feet towards the east, and corpse number two head was towards the east and its feet was towards the west. This is another siman that these bodies were not Jewish bodies, because the Jews were buried in the same direction, and therefore inland tusa of leishkunas kvaris certainly is not part of a kever, because if so they would both be buried in the same direction. In addition, and even though it's possible that they were buried at different times and they were buried temporarily, therefore by the fact that they were buried in different directions should not necessarily be a raya. However, even so, when we move these bodies and burying them in another place, you don't have to remove any soil that surrounds the bodies. The Gemara continues that even though we mentioned that if you find three bodies together and you didn't know about these bodies, it forms a shkunas kvaris, and certainly if you knew that there were three bodies that were buried together and you were just not certain if they were buried in a basic kvaris, that the halacha is that you have to be choshish that maybe there's a shkunas kvaris and therefore this entire area is tamei and you can't remove these bodies. However, the Gemara continues, Matzah Shleisha, if you found three bodies together within a 4x8 area, ha'echad yidua, and one of them we know was buried there permanently, u'shnayim t'chila, and two of them we didn't know about previously, echad t'chila, or we found one dead body which we did not know about, u'shnayim yidum, and then we found two other bodies which we knew were in that area, yesh lam t'fusa v'in lam shkunas kvaris. In this case, we would say that there is a din of t'fusa, and if you remove these bodies, then you would have to remove the surrounding soil. However, it doesn't form a basic kvaris. Taisus is bothered that l'chira, if when you have three bodies which you did not know about previously, it forms a shkunas kvaris. So l'chira, when you have two bodies that you already knew about previously, and then you find another body, certainly we should say that it's a shkunas kvaris. Therefore, Taisus says first that Rashbam pirish halacha mishmisinehu, that this is a halacha mishmisinei, and then he brings from the Ri that there actually is a tam bedava, the ein lalon leim a shkunas kvaris, who basic kvaris haya, hoyel v'nikbu sham gimel mesim, that we don't say that it's actually going to be considered a basic kvaris because we found three mesim, kivin the echad noy de tchila, since we knew about one previously, iisa de ein daita hoyel v'nesam, v'lisam sham lekavrei, ki hechad yudu lano echad, yudu lano oisa sh Shima. In this case, since you only had either one or two bodies, which we knew were buried there, so if it would be true that this would be a base curse and they intended to leave these bodies over there, then they would have known about the third body as well, as this would have been a public knowledge. By the fact that they only knew about two and they did not know about the third, so it must be that even the first two that they buried there and that they knew about must have been buried there temporarily and not permanently. Therefore, although we have to be choshish that it's a Jewish body, and therefore yeshlam tfusa, that when you remove the bodies, you have to remove the soil that surrounds them. However, we can't say that this determined that this area was a base forest. And the Gemara continues, Ma'aseh Rabbi Sheva, there was a story of Rabbi Sheva, Shebadaku Matzah Shnai Medulin Ve'echad Chila, where they were checking an area, and they found two bodies which they knew about, and then they found one which was new and they did not know about, Ubikish Lasayt and Shkunis Kvaris, and based on the fact that he found three bodies which were together in the shear of 4x8 Amis, therefore he wanted to say that this entire area was Shkunis Kvaris, and therefore they would have to check a 20 Amma area. So Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva responded to him, Kol Shigata L'Rikri Gata, that everything you toiled in this instant was for naught, as Lei Amru Shkunis Kvaris El L'Gimel Yuduin Oy L'Shloi Shetchila, that the only time that this din of Shkunis Kvaris was taught to us was only when we had three bodies which were known to us, or three bodies which we actually found at one time. However, if you have two and one, or one and two, that would not cause this area to be considered Shkunis Kvaris. And the Gemara continues that the Mishnah taught us, where you found one or two bodies, then Neitlan Vestvu Sasan, you can remove the bodies. When removing the bodies, you also have to remove the soil that surrounds the bodies. And the Gemara is Hechi Dami Tvusa, and although generally the term of Hechi Dami generally mean what is the case where we find a din of Tvusasan, however, Zakti Rosh, Hechi Dami Tvusa, Perish Hechi Chazinan, Shetzarach Litul Imai Tvusasai. Gemara's question is, where do we find a Mekar to this din? And Am Rabbi Huda, so Rabbi Huda states, Am Akra, the Pasuk teaches us in Pashva Yigash, when Yaakov Avinu was asking Yosef to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, so the Pasuk states, Vishachavti Mavisei, when it's a Sadim Mitzrayim, Ugvatani Bikfurosim, Vayomer, Anechi Esa Kidvarecha. Since Yaakov Avinu at that point was in Mitzrayim, so therefore he didn't have to say, Unisasadim Mitzrayim. Therefore we learned that Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef that if it turns out that I'm buried in Mitzrayim, at some point, Mitzrayim Tol Imri, when you take me out of Mitzrayim, take also some of the land of Mitzrayim together with me. And the Gemara is, Vakamashet Tfusa, when you're taking the surrounding soil, how much soil do you have to take? And Perish Rabbi Lazbar Pedas, as Tesis points out, that over here, Rabbi Lazbar Pedas, who's the Amir, is speaking, and he explains, Neitel Ofet Yichuach, take all of the soft ground that's around the body, the Chayfe B'Besula Gimel Tzpais, in addition, you have to dig in this virgin soil for three Tzpais and take that as well. And Tesis points out, some of the mace gets absorbed into the soil around the mace, and that's why we have to take even three etzpais of the kaka, which is virgin soil. The Gemara continues and asks a question from a brisa. This brisa will be discussing the parts of a mace and the parts of an area they have to remove when moving a mace, and this brisa doesn't mention anything about being chayfu b'besula gimel etzpais, as the brisa says, b'kama shi'at tfusa, what is the shi'at tfusa? Pirush Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, who's a Tana, states, Neitel zakismin, you take any chips of wood that broke away from the Aron, and you also take the clumps of earth which are around it, and you throw away anything which is surely not part of the mace, anything that you find in that area that you misupik, if it's part of the mace or not, you would leave in that area, and as Taisa says, and anything that's remaining will be combined to see if you have roi binyan of the mace, or to see if you had a quarter of a kav atzames, and lemoli tarvid rekiv, and to determine if you had a ladle full of corpse dust. And lemaisa, this brisa doesn't mention anything about chayfu b'besula gimel tzpais, and the Gemara answers, Eina chanami, hu da'ama kaitana, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was not going with the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, but he was going according to this Tana. The Tanya, as we learned to the brisa, v'kamash etfusa, Rabbi Yechran, Rabbi Yechran ben Nuri, who was a Tana, stated, Meshum ben Azay, the name of ben Azay, noitel ofet tichuach, you take the loose soil that's around the body, chayfu b'besula shalosh etzpais, and in addition, you have to remove three etzpais of virgin soil. Now, the brisa mentioned moly tavid rekav, even though we're talking about a case where there were chips of wood from an oren, and therefore l'chayra, the din of moly tavid rekav should not apply, as we learned before, that the halacha meshum sinai of moly tavid rekav only applies when it's the mace itself and nothing else was mixed into it. Mefarish explains, hani mila be'enei, that's only if it's be'en, avla tzuruf l'achrina shenikbu ra'rumin be'oren shel shayis mitzarev. However, once you have moly tavid rekav from another body, which was orim, which fit into the halacha meshum sinai of moly tavid rekav, then this would also be included and would be considered tamei ayin sham. We continue on daf samachem beis. Rava teaches us badeku pina. Reuven was excavating his sada and he finds one body. And as we said before, that when you find only one body, you'll later remove that from your sada and you can move it into a regular beis akvaris. And immediately upon finding the corpse, he moved it into a base of Kvaris, and then Badakopina, he continued excavating his field, and he found another body, and he moved it once again, because at this point he only found two bodies, and therefore it wasn't considered a base of Kvaris. However, then Badakveshkach, he then continued excavating his field, and he found another dead body within a 4x8 area. Certainly at this point it should have a din of a Shchunas Kvaris. However, Rava teaches us, Loi Hai Mefani Le Gabi Hanach Tre, you can't move body number 3 to be together with body number 1 and body number 2 that you already removed. And even though at this point, since you found a third body, so we know that this was a Shchunas Kvaris, and therefore really you didn't have a right to remove the first two bodies. However, there's no din that you have to take the first two bodies and bring them back to be together with the third body. And Rabbi doesn't tell us if you would actually have to go and be boydik the rest of the 20 Amma area. However, Tais brings down that some Agurus over here, Rabbi actually taught us Umashvilhu Shchunas Kvaris, that Lemaisa creates a base of Kvaris, and you would have to be boydik a 20 Amma radius. And the Gemara continues, Ikad Amri, others have the following version of what Rava stated. Rava, Kimishinit and Rishus Lefanais, since we gave you Rishus to remove the first two dead bodies, at that point it was not a Shchunas Kvaris, and you had a right to move those bodies. So Mefan Lahain, therefore you can move the third body as well. We still would not consider this area a Shchunas Kvaris. And the Gemara says, Vilashvina Shchunas Kvaris, Lachira, since Lemaisa, we know that there were three dead bodies within a 4x8 Amma area, so Lachira, it should be considered a Shchunas Kvaris. Rish Lakish says, Ilam Matsoi, Betir Eretz Yisrael, that in the Hanami, it would seem to be the case. However, the Rabbanim found a loophole, and they said that since Lemaisa, you didn't find three Mesim at one point, therefore they said, you're not going to be Metami this area, and we're going to be Metari this entire area. There is no requirement to be Boydik Esrim Amma. And as Tesis says, that since you already removed the two Mesim before you found the third one, therefore it's not considered Shchunas Kvaris, to be Echel Lenisakin Shchunas Kvaris, Beksas Kosho, Im Halacha Hidal Lachir, if there's Halacha Mishim Sinai, why would this make a Chilik? And Tesis says, B'shem Kozem and Halacha, Enechinami, maybe this was all part of the Halacha Mishim Sinai. And Tesis also explains, Omer B'shem Malakish, Ilam Matzah B'tir Kol Eretz Yisrael, Behin Lachzik Tum, O Lachmer, we don't want to be Machzik Tum in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't want to be Machmer. Now, Achreinu discuss if this also applies to Chutzlaretz, or if this din would not apply to Chutzlaretz, since we don't have the Svara of Ilam Matzah B'tir Eretz Yisrael, as there's no requirement to be Matar Chutzlaretz. And the Gemara continues, Badak Me'esim Amma V'lay Matzah Mai, if Reuven found three dead bodies in his Sada, and he actually investigated and he checked out a 20 Amma area and he did not find any other Mesim, could he now determine that this was not a Shchunas Kvaris and therefore he would be able to remove all of these three bodies even though they found three bodies together, and we would say that they were likely just placed here temporarily? Gemara says, Amar Menashe Bar Yemya Amar Rav, that Rav Menashe Bar Yemya said in the name of Rav Shchunas Kvaris, that this is a Shchunas Kvaris since you found three bodies together, we would not allow him to remove these three bodies, as at the point that they were buried here, it must have been buried here permanently. This is the way that the Rush learned this Gemara, and it comes out that Menashe Bar Yemya is actually being Machmer, and therefore the next line of Gemara is removed from the Gemara, as my time on Rish Lakish, Yilav Matzah V'tir Eretz Yisrael, is coming to explain the Kula, and of course the din of Menashe Bar Yemya Rav is actually a Chumrah. However, Ayin and Taisis, we bring two different Pshatim in our Gemara, and Lefi both Pshatim, it comes out an actual Kula, and therefore Lefi Taisis, we could be Gurus this last line of Gemara, as Rish Lakish was explaining why Rav Menashe Bar Yemya brought a Kula. And the first way that Taisis learns this Gemara is that the question was, if someone went and checked the 20 Amma area of the field, and they only checked towards one side of the mace, and did not check to the other side of the mace, would we require him to still check another side, or would we say that since you didn't find any Mesim in this 20 Amma area, therefore you don't have to continue your search? And on that, Rav Menashe Bar Yemya said the name of Rav, although at this point you would still have to consider the Shchunas Kvaris of three, and therefore you can't remove those three bodies, however we not require you to continue your search, and therefore he's actually coming out and teaching us a Kula, and that's why Ula explained that the pshat behind the psak of Menashe Bar Yemya in the name of Rav is based on Ilam Matzai, but here is Eretz Yisrael, is based on us being Mikel in Eretz Yisrael, as we don't want to be Machzik Tumah, and we don't want to be Machmen Eretz Yisrael. And the second way that Taisis learns the question of Gemara is, if someone went and checked out a 20 Amma area and he didn't find a mace, do we say that he has to continue digging down until you reach Kaka Basula, or until you reach bedrock? And once again, Rav was Mekel, and that's why Rish Lakish stated Ilam Matzai v'tiras Eretz Yisrael. And we continue with the new Mishnah, Kos Safik Ngoyim v'tchila tar achlin nizkak l'tuma. If a Safik arose, if a person is considered Tamei and considered its Mitzera, and it arose prior to the Koyin saying that he's Tamei, then the din is that Safik Mitzera would be Tar. However, Mishiniska Kultuma, once the Koyin already said that he's Tamei, and then there was a Safik that arose, then the din is that Sveker Tamei, that he would be considered Tamei. We will explain the various Svekers that are possible after completing the Gemara. Gemara, and the Gemara states, Minani Mili, how do we know that the dinah is that the only time that we say that Safik Nega is Tar is only prior to becoming Tame, but once he becomes Tame, then Sveikri Tame, and Rabbi Huda, Rav, Rabbi Huda said, Nim Rav, Amakra, as the last Pasuk in Pashas Tazria teaches us, Zois Teres Nega Tsaras, Begadat Sema, Oya Pishtim, Oishasi, Oya Eir, Oy Kol Kli Or, Litare, Oy Litamai. Therefore, we learn, Hoylu Pasuk Beakasa Betaria Tchila, that since the Torah mentioned Tar first, so therefore we see that we're always noted to Tyra, and if there would be a suffix, if this person is a Mitzrayah, we would consider him Tara. And the Gemara now asks, if it's true that it is based on Xeris HaKasav, HaFil Mishniska Kutumin Nami Sveikri Tara, then Lachira, how could the Mishnah be Michalik between a person that's not yet a Mitzrayah, where we say that Safik Nega is Tar, and a person that already became a Mitzrayah, where we say that Safik Nega is Tameh? If Lachira for the Pasuk is Mashma, then in all cases we will be noted to Tyra. Therefore, the Gemara says that this is not the Makar, and the Gemara actually changes his course and will show what this is a Makar for, but the Gemara never gets back to this question as to how we know the Din of our Mishnah and Ayin and Taisis, and we'll get back to that at the end of the Gemara. And the Gemara continues that Enechinami, the Pasuk of Latari or Lutama, is not a Makar for our Mishnah. Eloki Idmad Rabbi Hudam Rav, and when Rabbi Hudam Rav stated that there's a Makar from this Pasuk of Latari Lutama, he was referring to a different Din, as we learned in Beharis Kadmon Sar Lovin Tami, that if you find a Beharis and that came before you had white hairs, then the Mitzrayah would be Tami. Vim Sar Lovin Kadmon Beharis, and if he grows white hairs and only afterwards does he grow a Beharis, then the person would be considered Tar. However, Suffolk, if there's a Suffolk, which one came first, then the Tanakhama states that he's Tame. Rabbi Shua Oymekeah, and Rabbi Shua argues in the Tanakhama, and he says that it's considered weaker, and as the Gemara says, Maikeah, what does it mean that it's considered weaker? Or Rabbi Huda, Keah Vitar, all the Rabbi Yeshua means when he uses the term Keah is that in a case where there's a Suffolk, if the Sar Lavan was before the Beharis, or if the Beharis was before the Sar Lavan, and we consider the person Tar, and the Lashon of Keah was a term that Rabbi Shua borrowed from the Dinam of Tsaras, because the Torah refers to a negadaka tzwika as Keah. Gemara asks, V'dilma Keah v'tamei, how does Rabbi Shua know that he's actually Tar? Maybe we should say that Safik d'Oraisa is l'chumra, and therefore we should consider him Tamei. And Amar Rabbi Huda Amrav, Rabbi Huda states in the name of Rav, Amar Kral, L'tarei l'tamei, the Pasuk stated L'tarei l'tamei, V'hoi l'pasuk b'yakasim b'tarei t'chila, and therefore since we see that the Torah started off with the Lashon of Tar first, so we see that we'd rather always be noted l'tarei, and if there's a Safik, if the Beharis was Kadmon l'Salavin, or the Salavin was Kedemes l'Beharis, we go l'kula, and he would be Tar. As we discussed, we will now go back to a couple of different points that Taisus makes. Number one, Taisus in Dima Maskel, Kol Safik Negayim, brings down from the Mishnah Masechtas Negayim in Parakei Mishnah Dalad, that what is the case of Safik Nega, Shnayim Shabo Eitzel Kayin, that there were two people that came to a Kayin, Vizer Beharis Kegris, and Reuven had a Beharis, which was the size of a small bean, or Vizer Beharis Kesela, and Shimon had a Beharis, which was the size of a Sela, even though the shear of becoming a Mitzrayah is the shear of a Gris. However, there are other dinim that apply to the dinim of Tzaras, and in this case, the Kayin felt that both of these people are not Vadei Mitzrayim, they were considered Mitzrayim Muskar, and they had to go and be in quarantine for a full week, and after that, they came back to the Kayin, and the general din is that if they come back to the Kayin and their Gris grew, then no matter what, at that point, they would be considered Tamei, and they would be considered a Mitzrayim Mukhlet. However, in this case, both of the Negoyim were now the size of a Sela, and at this point, no one remembered if Reuben was the one that had the Beharis as a Gris, and therefore it grew, and he's Tamei, or he was the one that had the Beharis as a Sela, and it didn't grow, and therefore he's considered Tar. And therefore, in this case, the Mishnah teaches us that since they were not yet a Mitzrayim Mukhlet, so the din is that Safik Nega would be Tar. In the second case of Safik Nega, where the din is that once they were Niskak L'tuma, that they would be considered Tamei, as we go to Chumra, that's referring to a case where Reuben and Shimon came to the Kayin. Reuben had a Nega the size of a Gris, and Shimon had a Nega the size of a Sela. After a week of being a Mitzrayim Muskar, they came back to the Kayin, and the Kayin saw that both of the Negayim grew, and both of them are now the same size, as both of these Negayim are a Sela and a little bit larger, and therefore both are considered Tamei. And when they came back to be examined by the Kayin to see if they were Tar, both of the Negayim are now the size of a Sela. So of course, the person who started off where his Nega was a Sela, he is now Tar, because since his Nega decreased in size and got back to its original size, so then the Din is that he's Tar. However, even though the other person's Nega also shrunk, however, it didn't shrink down to its original size, which was a Gris, and therefore he's still considered Tamei. And in this case, we would consider both of them Tamei, since they were already Niskak L'tuma, and they were already considered Tamei. Therefore, when you have a Suffolk, if they're considered Tar or not, we consider them Tamei. And although the Gemara doesn't explain how we know this Din of our Mishnah, as the Gemara said, that it can't be that we learn it from Rehudam Rav, because if so, we should even go L'kula, even once in Niskak L'tuma, and as Taisa pointed pointed out the holy itzuk kral actually niska klutuma, because we didn't need any pasuk to teach us that prior to becoming tummy, that the din is that they're considered tar, and we go lekula. The typically look meyachaskasi, as we always go based on chazaka, and therefore we wouldn't need a special pasuk of lotari lotamei el niska klutuma. So it must be that this pasuk would be coming to teach us that even when someone was already tummy, any suffix would be lekula. However, Taisus explains that our mishnah is based on a standard din of chazaka, and that's why prior to a person being considered a mitzera, so we would go based on his chazaka, and his chazaka is at this point he's not a mitzera, and therefore we continue on that chazaka, and we would say he's tar, even if there was a suffix. However, once he's tummy, so then the chazaka is that he's tummy, and that's why if there's a suffix, if he became tar, we would say ukmea chazaka, and his chazaka is that he's tummy. Also, keep in mind that Taisus and Masechtas Ksubis on Daf Ayin Heyam Beis asked the following question: the lechira on Mishnah and the brice that we just brought, where there's machlekes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Shua, seem to be sizing each other. As lechira, why would Rabbanan say that you're tummy over here? If we stated on Mishnah that prior to someone becoming tummy as a mitzera, then any suffix nega would be tar, and lechira in the case of Rabbanan, the din should be that he should be tar. And number two, if we just said that the reason why suffix nega is tar is because we're ukmei chazaka, so why did Rabbi Shua have to come up with a pasuk to teach us that this person is tar? If lechira, we should base him on his chazaka, and we shouldn't need the pasuk of Latari Latamai, Ayin Sham, and we will stop over here.